album is here.
With Carmichael Dave, Katie Christensen, and Nate Goodyear.
New morning, team.
Put the top down. Rev your engine.
Say, what goes on this morning?
Welcome to the drive.
I don't know if I want to say, wow, I really respect that about you, or if I want to say, gosh, that is so stupid.
Come on, man. Wake the up. The drive.
His mouth.
Here we go with Dave, Katie, and Nate.
That keg is almost tapped.
Yes.
And they're going to get every last drop out of it.
Broadcasting live from the Coors Light Studios. Coors Light, with great beer comes great responsibility. Now the drive continues with Dave, Katie, and Nate.
We appreciate you joining us each and every morning. Happy Monday. It is The Drive, 339-1140, 1-800-920-1140. Been covering a lot of stuff. If you missed the first 2 hours, how far can the Warriors make it without Steph Curry? Warriors Nation crossing their fingers today.
And every sports talk, anything, is talking about this in depth.
Well, hey, way to turn off all our listeners, Katie Christensen.
It's a lot.
So they, call us, 339-1140.
See it? That's how they cross their fingers.
Warriors,
throw their dubs
their
up.
West side, yeah.
Everybody is talking about this ad nauseum.
It's going to be the conversation,
yes,
until we find out what the MRI says later today. And then regardless of what the results are, whether they're negative or positive, like they're going to continue to talk about, and it's going to be a storyline because when you're MVP of the league, the best player in the league and on your team is out during the most important time of the season. Yeah. But at what point is it like, what else is there to say? Are they in trouble or are they not? I don't know. They're a pretty dang good team.
And does trouble mean losing a couple more games in the playoffs than they would?
I know, instead of sweeping people.
Yeah. That's what I see. We talked about some of their matchups earlier. Dave and I jumped right ahead to the Western Conference Finals against the Spurs, a Spurs team that both of us don't even have making it to the Western Conference Finals.
The Thunder upsetting them.
Yeah, and that kind of got me thinking because we had brought up the Clippers. I think it's a tougher matchup for the Warriors to face the Clippers without Steph than I do for them to face the Spurs without Steph.
Sure.
And the same goes for the Thunder. Just positionally, I think it's really helpful to have a guy that can match with Chris Paul and Russell Westbrook. Mm-hmm. The Spurs don't quite have that same threat.
Well, and to be clear, Katie took her big shot in the first round saying that she thought the Pistons would upset the Cleveland Cavaliers.
Whoops.
That didn't work out.
We took
our chances in the next round saying that the Thunder would upset the Spurs.
Will you at least concede this?
What?
As a 1-8 matchup, every single game was close.
Yeah.
Will you at least concede the fact that that wasn't that far off?
Will you concede the fact that by the time the season starts next year, no one will remember anything other than that the Cavs won in four games?
Absolutely.
Katie.
I get that. But here,
you feel that?
Here's my thing. I don't think that Cleveland, I don't even know. I just really don't. Even now that, you know, that pick for me is busted and it blows my whole bracket, I still don't know that Cleveland is going to make it to the finals.
Yeah, they didn't make you very confident in that series, did they?
Not at all.
And how much of that was the way Detroit played? Did Detroit expose Cleveland's weaknesses, or do you just not think that they're...
I think it's a combination. I don't think they're that great. And I will say this, if Andre Drummond could shoot more than 30% from the free throw line, if he could shoot 50%,
no kidding,
it would have been a different series. Because when you have to set the guy on the bench that does the majority of your work around the rim and makes it very difficult for you, I'm sorry, you're in trouble. Shoot 50% from the line.
Yeah.
Is that asking too much? And that's freaking horrendous. But 33%, like it takes you out of a game that's important. And we're during the regular season,
games
it doesn't matter.
You're right.
Yeah.
You're losing games by two, and you've got your 20-20 guy on the bench.
Exactly.
Eh.
Well, at the same time, let's acknowledge, although it seemed closer than it was because of a couple games, the Cavs beat the Pistons by an average of 8.5 points each game.
That's still...
I mean, it's single digits.
But I still think that that's a close game. Especially when you consider the fact that Drummond has to sit most of the fourth quarter. They started doing Hack-a-Drummond in the first quarter.
Sure.
I mean, they're going to use that every time. And I hate the rule. I think it needs to be fixed and changed.
I love the rule.
But as long as people...
Don't touch it. Don't touch the rule.
Oh,
leave the rule alone. You know what? Learn how to shoot free throws. How about that?
I understand.
It's not that easy, though. You know, like Dwight Howard and Shaq shoot like 80% when there's no one standing.
Oh, yeah, he's on line three. He's 7'6". And I get it. There are some people that can't shoot free throws. That's your problem. I don't want to move the rules around your weakness.
Dave, I understand what you're saying. I think that an NBA player should...
You want to make a shorter rim for women's basketball, but you want to force guys to shoot free throws?
Can I
finish my point? Yes, I understand what you're saying, and I agree. You're a professional basketball player. You should at least be able to shoot a semi-decent clip from the
free
throw line.
Make more than you miss.
Yes.
Yeah.
But my problem is I don't like the rule because of what it's done to the game. Now, granted, I understand that they've changed it to the last 2 minutes of the game. You can't do it, so on and so forth. But I don't fault people for using it as long as it's there. And if you talk to any NBA coach, Dave, in the league, they think the rule is ridiculous. They don't like the Hakka rule. They think it has no place in the game.
Sure.
But the concession is people should be able to shoot. But if it's as long as it's there, Greg Popovich says, even though I hate it, I'm going to use it.
He's gonna. You guys got some breaking news out of the world of golf?
Uh-oh.
Don't care if you do or don't. Does it involve
Eldrick?
Does it involve Eldrick?
Yeah.
It absolutely does. He has registered for the U.S. Open, folks.
Oh!
He has registered for the U.S. Open. That is in June. Oakmont, that's very close to that. That's June 16th to 19th, Oakmont Country Club. Now, he's exempt because he won the U.S. Open, so he's got that lifetime exemption, but he had to register by 5 p.m. this Wednesday, He registered back on April 4th, and so it's as it starts to leak out now, he will at least be registered.
Yeah, if he plays, he won't make the cut.
Doesn't mean he's gonna play.
Right, he probably won't.
I'm right in the middle there, exactly. And you know what? Here's the thing that you and I know it's our jobs. We have to acknowledge we cannot have a hot take on whether or not he's gonna play because there's so much secrecy around it. You have no idea.
None.
I have no idea.
None.
I hope he plays.
But the one thing that I've been crossing my fingers for now for a couple of years since he's kind of faded off is I still expect at one point Tiger will never regain what he was.
No.
But I still expect at one point that 86 Masters moment.
I agree, Jack Nicklaus.
If I can just have that one moment,
yep.
I don't care about anything for the rest of golf forever.
Agreed.
Give me an aging Tiger Woods beating a bunch of kids that are better than
Agreed.
Him for one last gasp.
Because you know what? We are at that point now, you not so much, me definitely, because Tiger and I are the exact same age, that it's almost your own mortality. You root for the oil. You're like, that's right. I still got something. Well, no, I don't, but he does.
You could for one weekend.
I'm really wondering if this, and I understand what you're saying, and I think a lot of people would like to see it, but what you just said, Dave, is that it's your own mortality.
Sure.
You attach it to. I would like women to tell me if they actually – I definitely don't feel that way. I don't attach myself to an athlete that's my age and say, if they can do it still, like, oh.
Yeah, but you kind of have, like, a unique perspective having played professionally and been through that and moved on now, whereas Dave and I sit here, like, we never had that. So we watch these guys that we talk about daily consistently hit a wall when they turn 30, 35. Like, it's so ingrained in us. I think about that every day.
I just turned
30, Katie, and it's in my mind every day, like, hey, maybe this is my peak.
It only gets worse.
Right, and even though I know that's only in the world of athletics. Like, professionally speaking, I'm just, like, I'm a plain old white dude. I'm not supposed to peak till I'm 50, right?
But you still could pitch in game 7.
Right, but
it's not too late.
No, it's not, but I see these guys. I'm like, man, Tim Duncan's old at 30-something, and I can't help but think maybe that's where I've reached in my life. You know better.
You know what I hang on to now that my playing days are over and my peak is gone? At 35, I don't know, according to physicians and what you read online, I haven't quite hit my sexual peak yet, so I'm hanging on to that.
As soon as you brought that up and started going there, I was like, well, you're reaching your, nah, I won't go there.
Yeah, you and I did, though. It's all downhill. Everything sags, including your attitude.
Yep. I mean, except for the one thing that you don't want to hang a little bit lower.
Yeah. You have to be careful when you sit down.
Your ears.
Yes, that's right. It's impossible, though, to not watch a guy like Tiger, who still, I mean, he should be relatively in the prime of his life, aside from being a professional athlete.
Yeah, it's funny that sports and age and all of that, your prime for an athlete and your prime
different.
In life is completely different.
I see a 35-year-old breakdown. He's lost a step. And I say, God, have I lost a step too?
Exactly.
Like, because I'm beaten over the head with it every single day. Steph Curry sprained his knee. If he misses the rest of the playoffs, Steph Curry's, 29 years old right now?
They also have a lot of mileage on their body.
Well, I know, but these are all things.
Once a week at the rec league?
I play a little softball. I'm worried one of these days I'm going to go out, I'm going to play softball, and I'll just have lost like three steps for no reason, just strictly because I've hit that arbitrary number.
And the truth is, you have.
If Katie, you wouldn't understand.
Here's it, and we're very sensitive.
Some people like The Notebook.
Yeah. Very sensitive about our own shortfalls. And the truth of the matter is, you're never pitching Game 7. Neither am I, but I still dream about it sometimes. When I see a guy like Tiger Woods, I remember him playing in the U.S. Amateur. I remember him at Stanford. I remember Hello World at the press conference, the first Nike commercials, and seeing this guy that was absolutely unstoppable. It wasn't a matter a question of was he going to beat Jack Nicklaus's majors record. He was.
When?
It was just a matter of when. And then you see, and for obvious many, many reasons that have been discussed ad nauseum, the fall of Tiger Woods. And you're absolutely right. To see the old guy come back, Nate, you could not have picked a better analogy, and the fact that it was golf is even better. It's the same thing my dad felt in 1986 when I was 9 years old, watching with him on the couch, watching the Golden Bear come back and win at Augusta.
Mm-hmm.
And for you and I, and I think for a lot of people out there, and there's some people that are like, oh, Tiger sucks, I hate him, screw him, Jordan Spieth, and I get that. But I think the older generation, you want to see. When they retire, when Derek Lee retired, and that's the guy I went to high school with, man, I was depressed.
Like, are you serious?
I was depressed for like a month. You retired?
Yeah.
I'm not even close to it. I haven't even started. My 401k is not even doing that. You retired.
I haven't even started paying into retirement
I'm
yet,
a
and
loser.
You're done.
Yeah, exactly. So I think you do make it part of your own mortality in a weird way. And Katie, to your point, I mean, you don't have to dream about hitting free throws when the game's on the line because you've been in those situations. You've played professionally. You're a grizzled old vet now with really nothing to look forward to.
You know what's crazy about it? But this is, and I don't want to play like the man woman card.
You're probably barren. I mean,
see, that's the thing. I don't want to play, seriously, if I'm being completely honest.
Yes, please do.
The biggest concern in my life right now at 35 years old, like when I look at what I've done, I'm extremely proud of my playing career. I'm proud of my broadcasting career. To think, oh my gosh, I've been doing sports broadcasting for 10 years right now. What I think of is like, okay, I've been successful by all, standards and whatever for societal standards. But guess what? As a woman, I haven't really been all that successful because I'm 35, I'm unmarried, and I don't have any kids.
You're
and
basically
technically,
a failure.
It's like, oh my gosh. You start doing the math and it's like, well, if I get married within the next year and then I can have a kid,
right.
I'm gonna be, oh my God, I'm going to be 37, almost 38. Like, this is what women deal
Clock's
with.
Ticking.
And
yeah.
You guys are like, oh, things are hanging lower. Well, yeah.
I mean, you got to meet the guy. Then you got
like at least 2 years off.
Yeah, you're 2 years off. And then do you start doing the math where you're like, okay, I have the kid at 37, which means graduation. I'll be 55 at graduation.
Well, because the guy I dated for 9 years was 16 years older than me.
Wow.
9 years. 16
wow,
years.
Yeah.
When we broke up, he was 51.
You know,
and I'm like, okay, if we ever have kids, you're going to be, in a home when they graduate from high school.
There's nothing cooler than having old parents as a kid, though.
Ooh, I don't know. I don't know if that's cool.
Everything gets by the old parents.
I mean, my parents did it the right way. My parents were very young, were youngish when they got married. They waited 11 years before they had a kid. They lived it up. And they're still happily married and in love. I mean, that's the thing. It's,
yeah, your parents are adorable.
My parents are embarrassing, but I do love them. And they're still, it's just, I mean, I don't know, Katie. There's a bright side.
Yeah, I get to work with you too.
Yeah. I don't know.
Yay.
I don't know what it is.
We're
all winners.
So Tiger Woods is coming back to golf, and Katie is trying to figure things out. That's a good
moral of the story.
Coming up later on in the program, by the way, we're going to start a contest that will go throughout the week. The 49ers are on the board today and tomorrow. We'll do the Raiders in the next couple of days. Correctly predict who the Niners will take with their first pick in the 2016 NFL Draft. We're going to give you a 50-inch Samsung high-def TV courtesy of the Home Theater Company where the prices are equal to or less than the chain stores. Here's how it works. We'll take three today, three tomorrow. You guys choose a player. There's an advantage to going first, or maybe there isn't. You choose the player. Once you choose that player's off the board. You can't pick them again. Nobody else can. So stake your claim to your player. That's going to come up in a few minutes right now. However, it is time for the 10K Day giveaway. Word of the hour. This is a dumb show that Katie watches with her roommate all the time where people sing. Well, you might want to turn on
voice.
Your... That's absolutely correct.
That's voice?
That's the voice.
It's not a dumb show.
It's not
phenomenal.
A dumb...
I turned my chair around. Holy life work
hold
like
on,
that.
Hold on. Who am I?
You turn around. You're Adam Levine.
Yes.
You're CeeLo.
Nailed it.
You're Christina Aguilera.
All of the above.
Now, if they applied the stuff that happens in The Voice to real life, like what if you went in for a job interview and like everybody's back was turned?
And you just had to start pitching yourself.
Yeah.
I think I'd be a good fit for this job because I have a lot of experience.
You have a minute to pitch.
Yeah. And then they got bing.
Yeah, somebody turns around. They can't see you. They don't know what they look like. I like the concept.
Anything with a blind audition.
Would you date that way? Speaking of you and your failures in love, would you date that way?
I think any kind of online dating would be that way.
Kind of like that.
Yeah, because there's no telling if that's actually their picture.
Right. Well, in college for a couple of years, every year around Valentine's Day, the student union would put on the dating game like live, and I had to host it twice. And believe me, that is freaking awkward. Like one year we got three girls that were down to have a good time. You could tell because one of them was wearing the exact same thing she had worn the night before and still had her hair screwed up. And the guy that signed up was just a total dud creeper. And so it took about two questions in because the girls couldn't see him before, you know, you'd ask him a question and he'd kind of do that pensive thing where he was trying to be deep and he kind of gaze off. But then he would give like a one-word answer. And after about three of those, we'd be like, all right, this guy's kind of a creep.
Oh, my goodness.
And then all three of the girls completely shut down because they realized they didn't want anything to do with him. So like,
you're saying there was no screening for this?
No, none at all. It's pretty tough to host a dating game when the girls aren't interested.
So I smell a contest in the lounge. What have you got you in one of those office chairs that don't turn around? And we got 10 schmoes that showed up, and they each got 2 minutes to pitch themselves to take you out on a date. And
then that'd be so good.
You have to decide if you turn the chair around.
Let me just stop you here, because as you know, and you and Nate gave me crap for it at the beginning of the show, I have a boyfriend. I have a boyfriend. And whether or not you're willing to accept it, that is not my problem. This guy's been around for a year.
You're
at some
single.
Point, you have to accept it. But I do have a roommate who is single.
You want me to prove to you that you're single? I'm going to prove to you you're single
Can
right
we
now.
Not do
no, I'm
this
just going
right
to prove
now.
It real quick. You're filling out a job application. There's two boxes to check, single or married.
Oh, come on.
Oh, my God.
She's single.
That's dirty.
She's single.
I put other.
By the letter
I put
of the law.
None of your business.
You're unmarried. Yep.
I'm unmarried, but I'm not single.
Somebody's asking what the word is. The word is voice.
And the number?
The number is 80787. Hey, thanks. I'll just do the whole read again. 80787. Text voice to 80787. Get that in by the end of the hour, and you could win $1,000. Text and data rates may apply. You also get into the big prize pool. $25,000 could be yours. All right, before we settle on this contest here that Katie doesn't want to do, Conor McGregor has announced that he is back on the card for UFC 200. So freaking transparent.
So without doing the press conference, they drummed up so much publicity for it that was basically what it was from the beginning.
Yes, and the UFC, I'm sure it'll be like he gave up some of his purse or he has to do double press conferences or he has to hop on one leg and go, like Coming to America
like
for five. I don't know what it is. We'll talk about that next. There was also a fight Friday.
5 overtime win over the Hawks. That series now tied at 2 games apiece. And the Warriors went up 3-1 on Houston yesterday. But Steph Curry slipped, sprained his knee. He's going to have an MRI today to determine the severity of that injury. He, of course, had to leave the game after spraining said knee. In Major League Baseball, the A's had a rough weekend in Toronto. They suffered their first 2 road losses of the year. As for the Giants, they couldn't finish a 3-game sweep sweep of the Marlins yesterday, falling at home 5-4. With updates every 30 minutes and breaking news first, I'm Nate Goodyear on your exclusive home of the Sacramento Kings, Sacramento Sports Station, Sports 1140 KHTK.
Cooking all day, I ain't your mama. I ain't gonna do your laundry.
You get a chance to win a 50-inch television in our next segment, so hold off there. We'll tell you how to do that. It is The Drive, Sports 1140 KHTK. There was a UFC Saturday night. John Jones wins the interim title because he did hit and runs and drugs and had all kinds of problems over the last year. So he wins the interim title.
So wait, so it's interim, so it might get stripped from him?
No, it was basically when he was gone, he got stripped of the title. And then this was supposed to be, Daniel Cormier and Anthony Rumble Johnson fought. Cormier was a champion, but then Cormier got hurt, couldn't fight in this one. So they made it an interim title. Blah, 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 blah. There are rumors, strong rumors, and I would actually guess this is probably going to happen, that Jones-Cormier will face off in UFC 200. Cormier will be healthy by then. Conor McGregor tweeted earlier today he is back on the card for UFC 200, which you could have predicted from a mile away.
Don't you love Twitter that you don't have to have, like, press releases and stuff anymore?
No.
Athletes can just, for good or bad, just run their mouths.
It's so WWE, and I don't mean that as an insult to the WWE in the sense that they...
No, they're forthcoming about
yes.
it. We know it's coming with them. I mean, did you not see this coming when we started it on Monday?
Yes, and we talked.
Because that's something that you and I discussed during the break.
Yes.
Was, dude, this is so WWE. I asked you, don't you just feel bad? Because we had Ariel Helwani on.
Yes,
and I was asking, like, don't you feel bad to some degree, like, just falling for this hook, line, and sinker? Like, we know what's going to happen here. And you said, well, no, not really, because I'm not, and we got to cover it.
Drama is so stupid. Conor McGregor tweets this morning, happy to announce I'm back on UFC 200. Shout out to Dana White and Lorenzo Fertitta on getting this one done for the fans' respect. But wait, hold on, there's more. Ten minutes ago, TMZ says Conor McGregor has not been added back to the UFC fight card, according to Dana White. They spoke to Dana this morning, who says, quote, it's not true. We haven't talked to Conor or his manager since the press conference. I don't know why he'd tweet that. All the media keeps asking me that. I feel like the scene in Step Brothers when they ask if they can build the bunk beds. I don't know how many more times I could say the fight is off, or how many more press conferences I can have saying the fight is off for people to believe it's off. Translation, the fight is off.
Still not buying it.
This is so stupid and unnecessary.
I'm telling you, this is their way of drumming up press.
I don't
doing
want.
A great
I don't,
job of
I
it.
Now I don't want him to fight on you. I don't want him to fight on the card now. I'm now, and maybe people disagree. Whose side are you on? Team Conor or Team UFC? At this point, I don't want him on the as. I've been to the last two Conor McGregor fights. I go to his fights. I love his fights. I have fun at his fights. I was looking forward to seeing him fight at UFC 200. I mean, what?
You're a kept man. I'm just throwing that in there.
A kept man?
Yeah, you say, I love his fights. I've been to his last two fights. I'm just saying, you're a kept man. That's why you've been to the last two fights.
What is that?
Dave loves Conor.
A kept man? I don't even know what that means.
He owns your heart, man.
Not everyone can fly on a private jet.
Oh, get out of here. You're
go.
On a private jet. Stay woke. Hey, here's
stay woke.
Here's my deal.
God.
Yeah. By the way, the biggest news over the weekend was none of this stuff. Republic lost. Warriors. Steph Curry. The biggest news was Beyonce. People lose their mind over this stuff.
Still don't know what happened there.
Neither
she released
do I.
A new single or
and
something like
Jay-Z
that.
Jay-Z cheated on her or something, and she released her album called Lemonade. It was on HBO.
Oh my gosh, and she completely destroys him in it.
And people go nuts.
It's like when your husband or spouse, or it can happen either way, where they do something bad and you decide to stay with them.
Or your wife or girlfriend.
But that means that in the meantime, the payment that you make is to be absolutely, like, obliterated at a moment's notice. Like, it will be thrown in your face whenever they deem that it's
fit. A little
fit.
Leverage there, yeah.
I miss the whole Beyonce
okay,
thing.
So what's this breaking news I'm just seeing now on CNBC Now on Twitter? Breaking, U.S. Appeals Court reinstates New England Patriots Tom Brady's suspension over Deflategate.
Well, there's that. Jeez. Read the story.
There is no link attached to it. It is a verified account. Mm-hmm. CNBC Now But what the heck is that all about?
Neato that CNBC is breaking this stuff. God, there's stuff breaking all over the place.
I know. Gosh.
I've still got one foot in the dumb UFC story.
Yeah, I mean, you had brought up briefly there. We'll try to break that down as it goes because that's a developing story. We'll have the latest here.
Yeah,
on
continually
KHDK. Developing. You had brought up the fighter versus the establishment, whatever it might be, and you kind of sided with UFC on this, saying you don't want Conor McGregor on the card. I can think of two examples now over the last year of guys who. Basically, in who they've chosen to take on, guys that were notorious, I don't know, jerks, phonies, whatever it might be, that have kind of shifted in the last year. I would go back to Alex Rodriguez with the Yankees. Prior to last year, Alex Rodriguez was a pariah, I think, for just about everybody. You know, whether it's the steroids, the fact that he is just a world-class phony. He's not Derek Jeter. Like, Alex Rodriguez is just a tool. And then last year, he's got a milestone bonus built into his contract, and the Yankees say, hey, bro, we're not going to pay you because you were suspended for drugs. And he's like, well, wait a minute. Didn't say anything about that in the contract. You got to pay me. It was a whole big thing, whatever.
Right.
My point is, throughout the course of that, because he gave the finger to the Yankees in this case, that shifted my opinion on Alex Rodriguez.
Because you like anyone that goes against the establishment.
Yeah, I mean, it pretty much depends. If you're going to make me choose between the New York Yankees and anybody, like, chances are I'm probably not going to choose the Yankees. Right, there's no, I'm going to side with the player on that, even if it is Alex Rodriguez. He became a sympathetic figure to me last year. Look at what A-Rod is able to do. 33 home runs. He's almost 40 years old. His franchise hates him and wants him to go away. And the dude's just showing up, still playing like a Hall of Famer. Now, Conor McGregor, it's the same type of deal. 3 weeks ago, if you asked me about Conor McGregor, to me, that's a guy that would turn me off from UFC and fight sports.
Sure.
That dude right there embodies everything.
Yep.
He's brash. He's annoying. He just, that type of stuff rubs me the wrong way. Do what you do in the ring. That's all well and good. I thought he was obnoxious. Now, because the UFC's trying to screw him over, he's got all the leverage. He says, dude, I don't need you.
But how is the UFC trying to screw him over?
Because they want him to do a bunch of stuff that's not necessary.
They're asking
he
him,
feels they're trying to screw
right,
him over.
But here's the thing. They're asking him to do exactly what
Every other fighter has to do.
So even, let's say that we argue the semantics there. Let's say they didn't screw him over.
Sure.
They're still, in his mind, asking him to do stuff that's not necessary. He believes that the UFC needs him more than he needs them.
Right.
So when they come to him with demands that he doesn't feel are necessary, hey, bro, I make you a lot of money fighting. Ask me to do that and we're good. Then I'm inclined to say, you know what? Good for you, Conor. Even if you signed on to it, you didn't need to do this crap. Someone needs to step up for the fighters in UFC and give them some leverage. And if the Conor McGregors of the world don't do it, then those guys that are on the undercard bouts, the guys that nobody knows about that are scratching and clawing to make a living at this, those guys don't get any help.
I'm going to tell you why I'm firmly on the UFC side, and generally I am on the side of the player. I am, you and I, I'm more establishment, you're more, you know, rise up against the world, but in this case, you and I agree a lot. I'm generally on the side of the player. But I'm going to demonstrate exactly why, in a roundabout way, because that's what I do, why I'm firmly on the UFC side. We all do sports for a living. Nate, you've been a sports fan your entire life, for example. Katie, you have too. Do you guys have any idea who Chuck Latito is?
No.
Does that name mean anything to you at all?
Mm-hmm.
He's considered by most to be the number one pound-for-pound boxer in the world. He fought Saturday night on the undercard of the Gennady Golovkin card on HBO. He's 45-0 with 38 knockouts. Gennady Golovkin, by the way, you've probably heard of that name. Any idea how many – let me ask you this. Do you know who he fought Saturday night?
No,
you don't, and you don't. And you are in the majority. I'm not trying to put you on the spot other than to demonstrate
– I'm okay if you are. I don't care.
Boxing – is one of the biggest and baddest sports in American history. It has been completely destroyed because of politics and promoters that allow fighters or have allowed fighters and themselves to become bigger than the game. And now nobody fights anyone. Nobody fight once a year, maybe twice a year, you get a boxing match that matters. Floyd Mayweather's gone. De La Hoya's gone. Trinidad's gone. Now you have a situation where you have these fighters wasting away and a sport is all but dead with the exception of a handful of pay-per-views throughout the year. What I love about the UFC is that it is a monopoly And from a fan standpoint, I'm selfish. It may not be completely fair to the fighters, but here's what happened. The Fertittas and Dana White took over an organization that was flailing under a company called SEG. They had to fight on riverboats in Mississippi. They stole Mark Ratner from the Nevada State Athletic Commission. He was the head of the athletic commission, whose job was to make mixed martial arts sanctioned in every state, and they just got New York. Millions and millions and millions of dollars spent on legal fees trying to promote the sport so that you can have Conor McGregor making $3-5 million a year. John Jones, or a fight. John Jones, $4-5 million. Ronda Rousey, a women's section of the sport. And now you have women that can go and make as much, and in some cases more than men, because of the efforts of the UFC. So for me, if the UFC has a standard that they ask their fighters, all of their fighters, to do, and one of those standards is you've got to do a couple press conferences. I'm sorry you're fighting in Iceland. I understand you've done a lot of promotion in the past, and you know what? You've been paid a lot. You're the highest paid fighter in the game. If you don't like it, feel free to not fight and go somewhere else. But you signed the contract, and in the contract it says you will go to the press conference like everyone else. And if you want to play this Humpty Dumpty garbage, that's cool. Here's the deal. We're going to lose some money on you if you never fight again, Connor, but the UFC will go on, and you'll be fighting in some dumbass Bellator, Strikeforce, whatever the hell organization, scrapping around on the fringes of the Wild Wild West while the UFC continues with new stars that will take your place, just like you took Anderson Silva's place and he took Randy Couture's place.
Jay, can we get a blood pressure machine in here, please?
I'm coming in right now, Gage.
I just don't think Conor McGregor cares.
I don't think he does
that.
Either. And yeah. That's a problem for me.
He's been kicked in the head too many times.
Well, all right, we'll take a break. Sorry about that. We'll take a break.
Wait, Dave or Connor?
Both. When we come back, your opportunity to win a 50-inch Samsung high-def TV, courtesy of the Home Theater Company, by picking who the 49ers will draft. Remember, you pick a guy, that guy is gone. So have some guys in reserve in case you're not the first guy up and your person gets stolen. Call now, 339-1140, 1-800-920-1140. Who will the 49ers take with their first pick in the 2016 NFL Draft? And the Home Theater Company could be delivering you a 50-inch TV. It is The Drive. It's Sports 1140 KHDK. Tonight as well, it is The Drive. Cover in this final segment. First off, we'll follow up here with the breaking news from the NFL. The Federal Appeals Court has ruled Patriots quarterback Tom Brady will serve a 4-game suspension. This goes back to Deflategate imposed by the NFL, overturning a lower judge and siding with the league in a battle with the players' union. The second U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals ruled today in New York. It's a 3-judge panel, and that might just end the legal debate over the scandal that, as we know, has been around way, way, way too long.
The ruling came in September of last year.
In case you're wondering, by the way, at Arizona, home Miami, home Houston, home Buffalo is who the Patriots will start the next
four games.
Three and one.
Just real quick, I mean, can we acknowledge for a second with a round of applause, congratulations to Roger Goodell for finally getting his man on this
there you
one.
Go, Raj.
I mean, it's been, what, a year and a half now? Just about, and we've finally gotten this done. And I'm also glad to know that there was some judge somewhere that's been wading through this paperwork for the last several months.
Took a long time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, finally they got it.
September
is when the final ruling came.
So way to go,
justice
everybody.
Has been done. Yeah, it's over. Let's go into the phones. Here's the deal. The 49ers are on the clock today and tomorrow. We'll do the Raiders later this week. Got a couple of Home Theater Company 50-inch TVs to give away. I'll go through the phones. We need three picks, one each, of who you think the Niners will take with their first-round pick. Once that player is taken off the board, who am I talking to?
Anthony,
and who do you think the 49ers are going to take?
I'm going to say Paxton Lynch, QB.
Paxton Lynch with that first pick, huh? All right, hold the line. Thanks. So Jay can get your information. Line two, who's this?
This is Nick.
Nick,
hey, Nick,
who will the 49ers take with their first-round pick?
Not named Paxton Lynch.
Yes.
I'm going to go with Ronnie Stanley.
Big
Ron.
Big Ron, hold the line, and Jay will take care of you. And finally, who am I talking to?
Ryan.
Ryan, who will the San
Ryan, not Ryan. Come on.
Who will the San Francisco 49ers take with their first pick in the 2016 NFL Draft?
Miles Jack.
Miles Jack. Hold that line. There you go. It's that simple. Miles.
Those are three good picks.
They are. Yeah. Miles Jack, Ronnie Stanley, Paxton Lynch are off the board. So when you call tomorrow and we get, because we're going to get a total of six guesses, yep. When you call tomorrow, you cannot, and we'll remind you, you cannot use those players. On top of Tom Brady and that breaking news, also breaking news, Tiger Woods has declared himself eligible and registered, I should say registered, for the U.S. Open this June at Oakmont. That does not mean he'll play.
Why not register for the tournament where it's toughest to score? I mean, right? I mean, go for it.
I just want to see the dude come back.
He's not going to make the cut if he plays.
We also have sort of, kind of, maybe kind of breaking news from several sources around the NBA. We'll give ESPN's Mark Stein credit for breaking it. And as expected and discussed many, many, many a time on this here program, the Sacramento Kings, according to league sources, have sounded out. That's the word, sounded out.
I think that was a typo.
You think so? Kevin McHale.
Sought.
It was sought.
Kevin McHale has been, according to many different sources, led by Mark Stein, he has been approached, however preliminarily it is.
Yeah, I mean, basically what Mark Stein is saying is that they're engaging in exploratory talks about the position, which, if I'm not mistaken, just to translate, doesn't that mean, hey, are you interested at all?
Right. I mean,
would you like to maybe come in for an interview?
Yeah. Where exactly is the line between that and an interview? Is it what you just said, calling a guy and be like, hey, man, are you interested in interviewing? It would be great. I like the name Kevin McHale, and I think he got shafted in Houston.
That he just like the name?
Did. I do.
And I think it would be a shame to take him off our TV because I like listening to him.
Yes.
I wonder about the fit for this group. Kevin McHale is going to run an up-tempo offense. They weren't exactly defensive world beaters in Houston. They're going to revolve around the three ball and perimeter play, which is not exactly, it wasn't really their strength.
I don't necessarily know that Kevin McHale won't adjust based on the team. Yeah. I don't think he's a one-and-done guy. What I would be excited, and I've been on record, Kevin McHale, that's who I would like to see. That's my guy. That's the one I'd like to see him bring in for the basic and most important reason, assuming you're keeping DeMarcus Cousins, mm-hmm. and all signs point to yes. This is a guy in Kevin McHale that doesn't beat around any bushes. He's straight up. He will get in your face. And, oh, by the way, he's a multiple-time NBA champion and one of the best big men mm-hmm. ever. So I'm pretty sure if Kevin McHale says to a guy like DeMarcus Cousins, do this, not that, DeMarcus Cousins' ears are going to look like Dumbo. They're so open. You want to talk about built-in respect right there. And McHale doesn't strike you as a guy who doesn't play politics, doesn't goof around. Yeah,
I think one of the most intriguing things about Kevin McHale, and from what my personal experience with him, he is... It seems to me, personality-wise, he's going to be somebody that could mesh very well with DeMarcus. He is very much, I don't know, it's interesting. When you're in an interview with him, like pregame interview, whatever, ask a few questions, and then literally he'll just decide that he's done and walk away. Like, he is kind of anti-establishment, us against the world, but that's that old-school NBA mentality.
Yeah.
And I think that with a guy like DeMarcus Cousins, one of the biggest things that he needs to know is that somebody has his back.
Exactly. And he can trust that person, and they're going to get in his face and say what they want and mean.
That's exactly what Michael Malone was able to do.
I don't care if our head coach shows up, and again, as a member of the media, I don't care if our head coach shows up to press conferences with a squirt gun and just answers every question in Latin while squirting everybody in the face. If he's a good coach and he executes plays and the players respect him and he wins ball games, I don't care. Mm-hmm. I don't need friendly coach. Ask Greg Popovich how that works out. He's fine.
Ask Jed York how it works out.
Well, you know, you had to go there, didn't you?
Well, I mean, it's a perfect example. An office politics meltdown, and you decide to throw your whole franchise in the crapper.
That's Nate Goodyear's voice. You'll hear that tomorrow morning at 6 a.m. Katie Christensen as well. You've got the lowdown later on today. I'm sure they'll have more fallout from all the UFC stuff, Tiger Woods, Kevin McHale, Tom Brady. There's a lot of breaking news. KHDK will have your coverage throughout the day. Jim Rome is next. We, as always, appreciate you listening to the show. Executive produced by our good buddy Jay in the back room there taking care of us. So for everybody here, we appreciate it. We'll see you tomorrow at 6 a.m. It is The Drive right here on Sports 1140 KHTK. You're home of the Kings, Sports 1140 KHTK. And Seth Curry.
Because we're men and we're sensitive.